Listen. That noise, like filled glass carried away on a cello, is a crypto mine. I'm in Bono, a small community in rural Arkansas near a little church and a field of cows. The security guard won't let me more than 100 feet close to the mine. I'll explain this more in a minute, but crypto mines are specialized computers that hunt cryptocurrency, things like Bitcoin, Ethereum, etc. These computers stack to become the size of storage cubes, in rows the size of a baseball field. Giant computers on a field, surrounded by a thick wooden fence and a patch of trees. But this crypto mine in particular concerns people because it's so close to a woman named Gladys Anderson. Because this was a quiet place to live until 2023. That's when she started to hear the noise.
When I first heard it, I was thinking about when you're at a car wash and all the vacuums are going and the automated system's going and it's so loud that you can't hear your radio.
She wasn't living in her home anymore. She was sharing her land with a machine that sounds like the world's loudest theremin.
I mean, it's almost like when you're in a subdivision, the house next door that's literally a third of an acre from you, it's that far from my house.
Her story is a simple tale of auditory horror that opened up a Pandora's box of not-in-my-backyard debates. And so, the crisis of the crypto mines began in Arkansas. You're listening to Track One, a podcast from Little Rock Public Radio. Each episode will take a closer look at stories impacting the natural state. I'm your host, Josie Lenora. This is episode 3, The Quiring of the Machines. I interviewed Gladys Anderson through Zoom in 2023. She walked around her house during the conversation. I can hear the mine ring like a sound bowl in the background.
I really hate feeling like I'm, you know, complaining. I hate bothering people, but it's a lot.
Computers shut off if they get too hot. If they didn't shut off, they would melt. That's true about your personal laptop or big desktops. These crypto mines are sitting in giant metal containers underneath the Arkansas sun. To keep this operation running, you need a cooling system. So fans blow cold air on the hardware 24/7. A lot of fans, dozens, hundreds of fans, all meshing together in one giant shrieking hum. It's one of those noises that makes your skin shrivel, like a table screeching when you move it across the floor, or a butter knife cutting on a glass plate. It's unpleasant to listen to it for longer than a few minutes, much less live right next to one of these mines. Gladys's family goes to sleep to the shrieking and wakes up to the shrieking. The constant hell of sound. She lives on the land with her kids, one of whom has autism and needs constant care. She also has dogs, and an elderly mother lives nearby, too. Gladys says the noise keeps everyone on edge. What's Gladys supposed to do? Sell it? She fought for the house in her divorce. She's lived here for several years. It means something to her family.
My kids have buried pets here. We've planted baby trees, you know. And why should I have to move, you know? I was here first, and I'm not disturbing anybody in the community.
Gladys started recording the noise and posting the videos on Facebook. That's where a lot of the mine sound in this episode is coming from. Her story has made the news rounds in the last few years. The New York Times published a feature on her plight. She was interviewed by CBS Sunday Morning.
It was like torture, like a form of military-grade torture.
Lawyers for this crypto mine told CBS their clients were developing a plan to fully enclose the site within a matter of months. That was in early 2024. Noise covers the world. My decibel reader measures noise in quiet places. Ambient sound collects on empty highways and rural curbsides. The newsroom at Little Rock Public Radio is 30 decibels at baseline. When I turn on my desk fan, it goes up to 40. But this mine is louder than baseline, far louder. In the summer, Gladys says the noise level goes up to 80 or 90 decibels. That's the same level I measure throwing a muffin tin down my staircase. When it's colder, when you walk a block away from the mine, the noise goes down to 60. The same level of a microwave when you stand in front of it. Often Gladys says the sound hovers at 70 decibels. That's the noise level of my hairdryer, on low. The case of the mine that won't shut up has spent years tied up in court. Gladys Anderson and her neighbors want compensation for the almost 3 years they've spent living next to a box of screams. As of this recording, we're unclear on the status of the suit. Lawyers from both plaintiffs and the defendants say they've, quote, amicably resolved the issue and, quote, both sides are satisfied with the resolution. But as of spring 2026, 3 years since I first talked to Gladys, the mine is still shrieking. There's just a few extra walls surrounding the crypto mine. Townspeople can't talk on the record since the lawsuit, so here's my Little Rock Public Radio colleagues reading from court filings.
I did not sign up for any of this noise crap. I now have a constant ringing in my ear, which will not go away.
I can no longer enjoy sitting outside and or being outside.
The noise from the mining facility is able to be heard at our house, and the sound is constantly running.
I no longer hear the doves cooing across the pastures. I see the cattle moving around endlessly, as if they're trying to find a calm place to graze.
I can no longer enjoy sitting on my porch, watch my cattle graze, and hear their soft moos. You cannot even hear their moos at all.
The Bono mine that sings over the cows is owned by NewRaise One LLC. It's an elusive California corporation with an unseen CEO named Ethan Wang. Wang isn't from Arkansas. Gladys said she saw a Pennsylvania license plate on his car the one time she met him. In 2023, I got him on the phone. He said the coverage around the Gladys Anderson story is fake news. I asked him why he said that, but he hung up. Trying to explain cryptocurrency and crypto mining is like trying to understand the plot of a Dr. Seuss book. The answer to the riddle is gibberish. But here goes. Imagine a room filled with shelves. Each shelf is lined with rows and rows of small, screenless computers. They're all doing the same thing, solving trillions of equations every second, trying to find a specific number. This hunt is like trying to find a PIN number to unlock someone's cell phone. But the number in the crypto mine is 64 characters long, and the lock for the PIN changes shape every few minutes. So the mines make trillions of guesses a second. They need to find the right number at the right time. And if they do, there's a reward, one crypto coin. Actually, the exact amount depends on the currency. As of this taping, finding the PIN unlocks 3.125 Bitcoins. There are personal, no bigger than a bread box crypto mines you can buy and fit on a desk. But in a month, they can only mine for a fraction of coin. You need a giant computer system the size of a baseball field to hunt for numbers and actually make a profit. The English language doesn't have a term for belief in belief, but that's what you're trying to grab when you reach for crypto. All money is only worth the faith we put in it. The dollar and the euro are only worth something because we as a society have decided to value money. A lot of cryptocurrency's value comes from speculation, making it far more volatile than official government currency. The rest of its value can be cashed as dollars on a trading website. You can't swipe your Bitcoin card at most grocery stores. It's not even a physical coin. Those emojis you see of crypto cash are an artistic rendering. There are companies who promise to take care of your pets after the rapture. You pay them and hopefully you get taken to heaven and your dog gets fed. Crypto is a little like that. It's absurd, it's hopeful, it's hypothetical, and in that way, cryptocurrency is very human. This may have been the crypto golden era, which I am just now realizing. When the Arkansas legislature actually wrote protections for the mines into state codes, I didn't cover it. I had no idea this was about to be so controversial. The bill came in 2023, toward the end of the session, and state lawmakers didn't really debate it.
This bill as amended, it just provides guidance for a growing industry.
Page 2, line 3, it says to protect from fraudulent business.
Watching these meetings feels like sitting in Saturday morning detention.
There are many forms with it.
They're talking about zoning laws with some spicy questions peppered in about semantics, syntax. Titled The Right to Mine Law, crypto mines should be treated like every other business, it says. State law before 2023 did not put unusual limitations on crypto mines, but now they have protection if someone tried. Right to Mine is a child of lobbyists, specifically an out-of-state group called the Satoshi Action Fund. They get their name from Satoshi Nakamoto, the pseudonym of whoever it is that developed Bitcoin, a creator whose identity is still a secret. The Satoshi Action Fund ignored my repeated requests for an interview. They're proud of their work. Their website links to the text of this bill, along with similar ones in Texas and New Hampshire. Of their three listed employees, one is Eric Peterson. He works for the Arkansas Blockchain Council, the local crypto lobbyists. They also ignored my request for an interview. The next is Mandy Gunasekara, head of the EPA under Trump's first term. The third Satoshi employee is named Dennis Porter. He claims he helped draft an executive order to create a Bitcoin stockpile for the federal government. Trump signed this order. It means the government is hoarding cryptocurrency instead of selling it. Different types of cryptocurrency have systems to keep the money precious. Bitcoin will only ever have 21 million coins in total. If the Trump administration stockpiled crypto, that could increase the value of the coins your lobbying clients own. It could mean any crypto the president has is worth more. And the president is estimated to have billions of dollars in crypto holdings. The Arkansas Right to Mine bill became law with almost unanimous approval from the legislature. When I went to a city meeting in Valonia, I asked Councilman Stephen Craig how many jobs a proposed mine there would create. It would have created, wait for it,
it will create about 4 or 5 jobs, to be honest.
And those 4 or 5 jobs would probably be outsourced from Little Rock, which is about a 40-minute drive away. So crypto mines aren't hiring people in rural areas with high unemployment. The Valonia mine is a mine that wasn't. The town had heard of Gladys Anderson living by a screaming mine, and they pitched a fit.
I'm here to speak for the shut-in people.
This is Melissa Blackwell, a resident of Valonia's outskirts. She has words for Mayor Preston Scroggins.
Scroggins, can you hear me? Because you ain't paying attention.
Yes, ma'am, I actually am.
When we are exposed to noise, it changes us.
Small-town governments aren't used to this level of attention or controversy. The city council seems flustered the whole meeting, even a little scared. They did agree to axe the mine plan, just at the next meeting.
And my encouragement to the Planning Commission is that we deny the preliminary plat submittal from Below AR LLC at this point in time.
I agree.
It felt like the end of the movie Footloose. The people had won. At any moment, they could all break out in a song and dance. But more mines seem to be sprouting up across the state. Russellville, population almost 29,000, they have a crypto mine by the Tyson plant. The town of Newport is smaller. They have a mine near a grass field at the city limits. Walnut Ridge, further north, has 2 crypto mines. A mine was built in Malvern where the supermarket used to be. If you go to the cemetery in Morrilton, a town in central Arkansas, you can walk across the road and see a crypto mine. Cameron Baker is another member of the Arkansas Blockchain Council, the same group Eric Peterson from the Satoshi Action Fund is part of. Baker says we should not blame all the mines for the sins of one.
It doesn't have to be a situation like we see in Bono. That's ridiculous. That's a tragedy.
Baker's testifying at the same Valonia meeting we just heard, and he's not wrong. Plenty of mines don't shriek. Some have layers of insulation that block the sound of fans. Others use water cooling systems. And some are so far removed from civilization, they quire but no one hears them. The Arkansas Blockchain Council made the same everyone calm down argument when a company asked to build a mine on an undeveloped lot in Helena, West Helena. Company, the town heard the miners out.
We're based out of Austin, Texas. We have sites in Russellville and Moreland, and we operate sites in...
That's Ben Smith, Arkansas Blockchain Council member. It's 2025. He's breaking down concerns with a PowerPoint presentation to the city council. The jobs will be local, Smith insists. We can employ you at a high school, no college needed. The mine won't even hurt your electricity bills. You won't have to think about the mine next door because most importantly, the mine won't be loud.
State ordinance is 60 decibels during daylight hours and 55 decibels at night. We have always achieved that.
I've visited several central Arkansas mines. They aren't silent, but they don't sound like the shower scene in the movie Psycho. They hum softer than this broadcast. Investigating crypto mines feels like being a character in a Thomas Pynchon novel. Mystery begets mystery. It's hard to tell if you're uncovering some grand plan or finding shapes in the clouds. Their owners hide their real names under layers of shell companies. Their corporate names read like Mad Libs for drab tech words. BitEngine Incorporated, BTC Digital, Quince Data. Some of these companies have addresses in the Cayman Islands. One takes you to a Delaware address, a company called Registered Agents Incorporated. For only $49, their website says you can, quote, use our address for everything. And here's what scares people. Almost every single crypto mine I've read about has some connection to China. Crypto mining is banned there, so a lot of mines across the U.S. have corporate websites in Chinese, or owners whose LinkedIn lists Chinese employment history. Many are run by American citizens born in China. Mine parts are usually made in Chinese factories. We all buy from China, but this all adds another layer to the pie of controversy. Anti-miners fill their sentences with lots of interrogatives. What if it's spies? What if they shut down the power grid? There's no proven example of a mine with ties to China spying on citizens or causing tangible harm. It just makes people squirm. Like in Wyoming. In 2022, a company called Mine One bought property in Cheyenne, Wyoming, a mile from an Air Force base. Mine One is owned by Chinese nationals. They were going to contract business out to a local company, one with a very American-sounding name, Bison Blockchain. But Bison said there was a mysterious swooping in of sorts. Mine One kicked them out and managed the mine's affairs in a private, secretive way. A lawsuit filing calls this a, quote, subversive and sophisticated takeover. It may also be illegal. Mine One didn't register with the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States like they were supposed to. Then President Joe Biden signed an executive order telling Mine One to stop culling crypto. Mine One settled a lawsuit with Bison for over $4 million. In this Wyoming story, there's no evidence of spying or sabotage. The concern is the concern, and it all felt weird. So, when a crypto mine was to be built about a mile from the Little Rock Air Force Base, China was a bigger fear than noise.
Well, good evening to you. We begin with another crypto mine being built in Arkansas, this one not far from Little Rock Air Force Base. It's alarming an Arkansas lawmaker, as well as county and city officials.
Which is funny because as far as I can tell, it's the only mine without Chinese connections. A capital A Arkansas mine made with Texas equipment and owned by the son of a well-known car dealer. But it'll take a lot of convincing for them to ever get this mine built. The mine in Gladys Anderson's backyard is still wailing. And this was getting lawmakers' attention. They started holding hearings about them. So in 2024, two bills ran the legislative gauntlet, putting mild restrictions on crypto mines. State Senator Joshua Bryant wrote these two pieces of legislation. He's the same guy who wrote the law pushed by the Satoshi Action Fund. He says the goal isn't to ban mines, just to stop the mines from causing trouble.
As we just passed, they got 90 days to comply. I think it will solve the issue. If not, the state will have jurisdiction once the rules are promulgated, or the community, the surrounding neighbors will have standing in court to make sure that they follow one of those noise mitigating procedures.
One of these laws focuses on banning Chinese ownership of the mines, which it calls prohibited foreign parties. Actually, banning Chinese-owned businesses was a big theme in state legislation for a couple of years. A lot of these laws are tied up in the courts. Democratic Representative Andrew Collins was one of the only no votes.
We need to be very careful, I think, when we say that someone can't do something or doesn't have the right to either own property, exercise the right to make a living, based on being in a category.
And, he says, this bill doesn't do anything. Senator Bryant seemed less sure as to how this helps Gladys Anderson, except to make it easier for her to sue, which, as we mentioned earlier, the neighborhood has already done.
I promise there's not one single person within a mile that's okay or happy about this noise. It's a horrible situation, and I never would have dreamed I would be in this place at any point in my life.
Gladys told me she didn't really follow politics until the mine started screaming by her house with her family. This bill, this technology, these arguments just happened to her. She spent years of her life fighting for quiet, because the shrieking mine in Bono still screams across the fields. It'll probably scream until somebody turns it off, which could be years, if ever. Track 1 is executive produced and fact-checked by Maggie Ryan. Production help from Daniel Breen and Jonathan Seaborn. Cover art by our digital producer, Nathan Treese. Sarah Buford is our sound editor. I'm your host, Josie Lenora. 1,000 Hands does our theme music, along with tracks from the Monroeville Music Center and Broke for Free. Special thanks to the Arkansas Presswomen and Ryan Gregory. Earlier, I compared crypto mining to Dr. Seuss. If you want to see a Seussical visual explainer I made, go to our website, littlerockpublicradio.org. You're listening to Track 1.